Okay, so we are on Daf Nunches. We had left off towards the top of the page. Let's see how many lines down. One, two, three, four, five, six. Six lines down, which is V'amar Rav Hamnuna. Okay, six lines down in Nunches on Beis. We're going to take it to two dots at the bottom. And where everyone has it, V'amar Rav Hamnuna, about six lines down from the top. Okay, so Rav Hamnuna says, Haroa Uchluse Yisrael, if a person sees a multitude, large crowd of Bnei Yisrael, then the Omer, he should say a bracha, Baruch Chacham HaRazim. He should say, blessed is Hashem who has a Chachma who knows the secrets. What does that mean? So Rashi explains the two things. First of all, what is a big crowd? So Rashi explains, first of all, Chel Gadol Shel Shishim Ribua. We're talking about where you see a crowd of 600,000 Jews. And what's Chacham HaRazim? That Hashem knows the secrets. Hashem knows what is in the heart of each person. The idea is that we know that the prime number, you know, everything comes down to a, let's say, basic number. We know that there's more than 600,000 Jews in this world, but the prime number of Jews is the number which we stood at Har Sinai, because that reflects every, when Hashem gave the Torah to Bnei Israel, it was to reflect every possible facet of the type of person, of type of mind, of type of personality that could accept the Torah. So it all has to be represented, because every aspect of it to every person has to be available. So that's the 600,000 number. When you have 600,000 people, each person is a unique individual. So that 600,000 people are going to have a tremendous display of all the originality of humankind. And therefore, a person, the greatness of Hashem is that He knows to distinguish each person and what is in their own mind, what is in their thoughts. So not so common to see 600,000 Jews in one place. Not even at the Siyam HaShas, you're not going to see 600,000 Jews in one place. You get maybe 100,000. But I know that at the Levaya, Ravaj Yosef, they said there was close to a million people, if I remember correctly. That there were a million people. And
they're
there
not
were
all in one spot, though, right? They're
no.
Spread out.
In one area. I don't think it's possible for a person to notice. If you think something of 600,000,
you can't see one.
That must take up a mile. I don't know how much, right? So I think it means in front of you, and gathered in one location, you can feel the experience of that number. So this is the bracha you would make. It's not a very common opportunity, but if it does arise, open up to Daf Nunches in brachos, and you'll remind yourself what the bracha is. Okay, what if you see Uchluse Ovdei Kochav? What if you see 600,000 of non-Jews gathered together? So in that case, you should say Bosha Imchem. You should say the Pasuk, which refers to that your Bosha Imchem, your mother is embarrassed. By you, what you are. Okay, so that's the opposite way, by non-Jews. Okay, so Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, Haro Uchluse Yisrael, Omer Baruch Chacham HaRazim. Why do you say Baruch Chacham HaRazim, that Hashem is unique, that each person, that Hashem knows the secrets of a person? She'ein Datsam Doim Azel Azeh. Because not every person is the same. They ain't part two same, Doim Azel Azeh. Not every person's face is the same. And yet, we're not all the same. Yet Hashem is able to figure out what each of us are thinking, what each of us knows inside, what each of us are thoughts on the inside. Okay. Ben Zoma, the first of the Y lines on Ilchas Nav. Ben Zoma, Ra'a Uchlusa Al Gav Ma'ala Bahar Bayis. You know, he saw another time, which we, Mir Tashem, will see again soon, is when all of the Bnei Yisrael are going to come for the Shalosh Regalim to be Ra'a Pnei Ashkenaz. They're going to come to the Beis Mikdash, and they're going to. And Ben Zoma, who lived during the time of the Beis Mikdash, was standing on the steps of the Har Bayis, and he saw the crowds of Bnei Yisrael coming during one of the Shalosh Regalim to be Ruach Pnei Abayis, to be Ruach Pnei Hashem, to come to visit and to bring their sacrifices and to daven by the Beis Mikdash. So, and he said, V'amar Baruch Chacham HaRazim, he said, blessed is Hashem who is the one who knows the secrets, and he added, U'baruch Shebaruch Kol Eilu Lisham Sheni. And he also, blessed is the Hashem created all of these to serve me. What does that mean? So look at Rashi, because that is why he explains, Lisham Sheni, Shehem Chorshin V'zorim V'ani Motim Muchan. All these people, They come from around the country of Israel, and some of them are farmers, and some of them they're herders of cattle. They do all sorts of amazing things, so that when I come to my yontif table, I didn't have to go ahead and farm the wheat that's going to be for my matzahs for Pesach, and I didn't have to go ahead and to raise the cattle that's going to be for my korban Pesach. They went ahead and they took care of it, and they just were selling it. I obviously have to have the money to buy it, but it's amazing that all these people are here. And there's a whole world full of people who are there l'sham sheni to do to serve essentially a person's needs. And he's going to go further into more detail about this idea, which they will have one explanation for it. So, hu haya omer, And he explained, Kam yigios yaga adam harishon asha pas le'echol. You know, Adam Rishon was cursed. You're with the sweat of your brow, you're going to have bread. You know how Adam Rishon has to eat bread? He had to charash. No one else is in this world, right? So for him to eat bread, he had to himself, he had to plow the field. The zara, and he had to plant the field. The katar, when it grew, he had to harvest it. The amar, he had to bundle it into the wheat bundles. The dash, and he had to thresh it. The zara, and he had to winnow in the wind. Uborer, and he had to separate the chaff from the kernels. The tachan, he had to grind it. The hirkin, he had to sift the flour. All that, the lashon, he has to make into a dough. The afa, and then after all of these steps, this is the Sidur HaPas, right? It's all by Shahil Chashavis. But after all these steps, and only after that, he can go ahead and eat. V'ani, and he says, me, I, Ben Zoma, I have such a karas tova, such thankfulness to all the people who work in the world. Ani mashkim, I get up early in the morning, I go to the makolet, and I find the lachmania, motzi kol elu mitzukan lefana, I find it ready for me, just ready to buy. And not expensive. How much does a pack of challah rolls cost? And for all that work that was put in behind it, if you think about it, he had tremendous hakaras tov looking at the bread for how much we have to appreciate that there, especially nowadays, right? We can appreciate going to the supermarket and not seeing everything available necessarily. So we can appreciate when it is there and how easy it is usually. Gas and the food and the water, it's all usually so easily available, so we should be so thankful for it. And furthermore, he said, the kam yigius yaga adam harishon acha masa begil lubosh. For him to wear clothing, right? Think about what he has to go through. Gazaz, he had to shear the sheep. Vilavan, he had to whiten it, he had to like bleach it, so it would be a nice white color. Vinafas, he had to comb it, to straighten it out. Vitava, the arag, he had to weave it and to spin the thread. Vacharkach, and after now he has thread, he can weave into a beged, and matza beged levosh. He then has a clothing to buy. Meanwhile, we just walk into a store, walk into Target, walk into the mall, we have plenty of options available to us, and usually at very good prices. Vani mashkin motikol, I find everything available to me. And he continues to say, Ben Zoma says, Ben Zoma was a wealthy individual. He had a lot of business. And he said, there's two different gerses. Either it's all the nations, all different people from around the world, businessmen and different businesses come from around the world to my house to do business. Or it's all different types of tradesmen. All different types of trades, and they're coming to my house, they want to do different forms of business, they might make different deals with me. And it's at my doorstep, all these deals, all these financial opportunities have come my way. It's interesting, you know, the idea that he's saying that, you know, stand at the Harbai, so all these Jews there are there to serve him. So, they do talk about what is the relationship. We know that there are Hashem created the world, and there are truly outstanding individuals. Ben Zoma was one of the tremendous Tami Chacham of his generation. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Hashem created the world for these individuals, and they are truly outstanding. There are some people who are truly, truly outstanding in this world. So what is our relationship to all of them? So there's two different explanations. One is that we provide the context. For example, you have someone who's the Gadol Hador. So who's going to ask him the questions? Who's going to be the tzibur who's going to go to his lectures and his shiurim? Who's going to be the people who they inspire? There needs to be, and Hashem doesn't want just the lamed vavniks in the world, the 36 special tzaddikim. Hashem wants a community around them who are not necessarily achieving that particular level, but in their own way, achieving what they need to do, and are forming a community, a kehillah, who all together serve Hashem. So what Ben Zoma is trying to focus on is the context of community. Everyone is doing their role. Ultimately, we all have what we need. But it's because everyone is finding their niche. It doesn't mean that everyone has to be a Ben Zoma, and everyone has to be the greatest of the Tanaim and the Mishnah and the Gemara. But everyone has to find what their role is, and when you play that role in the right way, then everyone has what they need to find in front of them, in your spot along the chain. If you break up the chain, no one's going to have what they need. And as he continues, we'll see the same theme he's going to focus on. You're focusing on yourself, you're focusing on this idea of community. So he continues, Ben Zoma. He says, Hu haya omer, oreach tov, a good guest. Ma hu omer. What does he say? So kama trachos tarach bal habayis b'shili. You know, what tremendous amount of effort was spent by the owner, by the head of the house on my behalf. Now, this is not something which is haughty, as we'll see. What he says is, "Kama baso hevi lefana." You know how much meat he brought in front of me? He brought in for me nice baked chicken. He brought a nice roast. He brought cholent. The kama yayin hevi lefana. How much nice wine he brought in front of me? The kama gluskos hevi lefana. How many rolls and delicacies and pastries he brought in front of me? What he did for me. For me, his guest. Can you believe it? All this tremendous stuff. How much did the guest didn't need all this? The guest did a little bit of it. But he says, wow, you know, I'm so appreciative of what he did. What did he do? He didn't do that much. I had one little piece of bread. I want one piece. Post achas shasisi, I drank one cup. You know what he did? You ever have someone sometimes they say, you know, come over, we're making food anyways, you might as well come. It's not going to change. My wife's not even working any harder. We're making everything anyways. Do you want to come over for Shabbos? It's not going to make any difference. We already have a full chalent. We'll just share with you. What did he do? He did everything for the Rech Ra sees it as the guy did offer his wife and his kids. But you know what the difference is? If you look at the way in which the two people expressed it, that is the difference of how people view life. One is, wow, how tremendous, amazing things people do on my behalf. You don't even notice how much around you, what people do, what amazing things people do in neighbors and community and friends and family. They provide a whole meal. All you ate was one piece of what they start with, the meat, that's the most expensive. And end up with the wine, says next to the wine. There is the piece of bread. But he gives the detail. It's not just thank you for the meal, but thank you specifically for the meat that you made and the varieties of wine. There's detail. And the gluskos. It's not just lechem, a piece of bread. Gluskos is like a nice fancy roll, a nice fancy pastry. What's the way the it's formulated? What is the language of the evil, the bad guest, who is really self-centered? He says, you know, everything was done, he didn't do for me, but what he says, what he focused on what he personally consumed, not what the person did for him, wow, how hard you worked, but what did I get? I just ate a piece, he says, right? He says, I only took chaticha, he didn't say what it is even, I just took a piece, and he says, I took a cup, right? He's not even the respect to say it was wine in the cup, the graciousness. He didn't say what the piece was of. He just had lechem, bread, something with meal, flour, and water. I had a slice. Slice of what? What happened to you? It was a nice delicacy. I had my own one slice of it. Okay, fine. That's what you ate. It's normal people eat one slice of a piece of meat when you pass around. I had a cup. Happens to you. He took out the nice, he took the cave, 2006, vintage. Yeah, you didn't get, I took one cup of whatever. That's the difference in perspective, that a person who has people noticing what people are doing for them versus what people notice is only what they gain from it. And that's the difference. Often people who look at for themselves aren't able to express the detail of what they were. And therefore, when you are thanking your host, it is often one of the nice things to do is to specify something unique that they happen to serve at the meal. Don't just think, thanks for having me over. Thank you for that particular salad. That was a really original, unique salad. Or something around the dessert that was unique and special. You didn't just buy dessert. That was really homemade dessert. That was really incredible. So that's something which you can notice in the way in which it's been formulated. Okay, let's continue. So it says, Al Oreach Tov, Mahomer, the Pasuk says, regarding the Oreach Tov, Zachor Ki Taskia Pa'alo Asher Sharu Anashim. Remember, it's saying to remember, it's an allegory for our guest here. Remember the guest. Kitaski pa'alo. Make the work that's done for you great. Make it even bigger and taski meaning higher, more magnify it. Asher shoru anashim, so that other people will see. Other people will take notice of it. That's your job as a good guest. Ariach raksiv, but regarding a bad, evil guest, lachen yiru anashim. You know, if you have someone who's ingrate, people can be scared of him. They're interested in him. He's really constantly picking at people's negative side and focusing on the negative. People can be fearful of such a person. And the end of the pasuk says, Lo yireh kol chachmei lev. He will not see those who are wise. It refers to his children. His children will not become wise. His children will not respect wisdom because if they know someone who has wise thing to give over, they're not going to be interested because they're learned from their father who's not interested in gaining anything from someone else. Only way, he's not interested in being on a reach tov. He's not going to be interested in learning from other people. His children will pick up on the same thing. Okay, let's continue. It says, Da'ish b'yemei shol, zakim b'abiyamim. We're going to continue to darshan a similar idea, which we'll see. It refers to the person who comes in the days of King Shol, this is an old man, ba b'anashim, who came with men. So va'am rava, v'yemei seim r'zid, v'yisem r'voshia. So some say rav, some say r'zid, some say r'voshia. Explained, ze yishai avi David. This person, this old man, refers to Yishai, who is the father of David. Sheyatze b'chlusia. He would go out to battle with a large group of men. V'nichnas b'chlusia, and he would come back with that large group of men. He prevailed in this battle. They all came back. The Darsh Bechusia, and he Darsh in Torah, he gave over Shiurim with a large crowd. So again, we see this is the person who is Yishai Avidavid, was one of the four people who did not ever sin, is by tradition, who never sinned in this world, and was clean of sin. He was someone who darshaned and gave Torah over with in front of a large multitude of Jews. Amr Ula. Ula said, Nikitinan, Ein Uchlusa Bebabel. One of the halachas of this bracha is you do not make it outside of Eretz Yisrael. So when you see a large gathering of Jews in exile, that's not the same bracha. We want to see the Jews in Israel. So if you see the Jews even in a Siyam HaShat, if there happen to be 600,000 people that could pack into MetLife Stadium, you don't make this bracha. Because we want to see the bracha of Bnei Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael. That's part of the bracha. Tana, furthermore, in the Chusya Pachas Mishishim Rabu, we had seen this in Rashi. Rashi had picked up from the Gemara over here that the multitude of Jews that you have to see for this bracha is at least 600,000. Okay, furthermore, Tana Rabban, Haroach Chachmei Yisrael, other brachas which we're going to say for seeing unusual sights. Haroach Chachmei Yisrael, the person sees a Chacham, a true Torah scholar. And they say someone who is really considered to be a Gadol Hador and someone who is even knowledgeable about the secrets of the Torah like Kabbalah. So for seeing such an individual, Omer Baruch Shechalak Michachmoso Li Reav, that blessed are you Hashem who gave a part of his wisdom to those who fear him. If you see Chachmei Obdei Chachamim, it does not refer to seeing the wise person among the non-Jewish priests. It refers to seeing a wise, tremendously, seeing like, I was going to say Albert Einstein is Jewish. So seeing a person who is wise, who is tremendously knowledgeable, in the sciences and in the ways of the world among the non-Jews, he should also make a bracha because we do respect that as well. Omer Baruch Shenasa Mechachmaso Libriyosav, Hashem who has given over from his knowledge to those who are his creations. The difference between the two brachas are twofold. So first of all, one is Liriyav, one is Libriyosav, to those who fear him because that is a critical component. If you're going to make a bracha to someone who is a wise Tam Chacham, it has to be someone who's also fearful of Hashem. As opposed to just simply one of his creations. Number two, when it comes to the Torah knowledge that you're seeing in a person, that is a chelek, that is chalak. A chelek means a piece of Hashem. The Torah isn't just something that Hashem gave into this world that you can have knowledge, that there's a knowledge of meteorology. They apparently didn't get meteorology didn't come over as knowledge. But other chachmos, other sciences, if you notice that Hashem gave over, he created the world that has that wisdom in it. But when it comes to Torah is literally a piece of Hashem's knowledge, a piece of Hashem's Torah. And that is a chilak. It's not just a part, nasan, Hashem gave it, but it's actually chalak. It's Hashem carved out a piece of his knowledge and gave it to the tremendous Tamei Chacham. Okay, continuing. Let me tell you one story, because we're going to a new part. There is a debate as to whether or not we say in halacha, whether or not we should say such a bracha nowadays for seeing a gadol hador, a tremendous tam chacham. Whether you see bar shechalak mi chachmas li reyav, because perhaps the chacham we have nowadays, we only have smicha nowadays. Do we really have the ability to give that? Do we have the people on the level that they had back in the days and times of the Gemara? We know that the Nikatan Adoros, the generations have gotten smaller and weaker over time. Do we really have such a person? There's a question in Halacha whether we have this. They tell the story of the Chasam Sofer. Chasam Sofer around the beginning, the dawn of the 18th century, he was traveling to Pressburg. And as he came to Pressburg, he saw Meshulam Igra. Meshulam Igra was the Rav of Pressburg and one of the Gedolei Hador of that time. It was when the Chasam Sofer was younger. And he was coming to that town of Pressburg. And as he knew he was going to go to visit Rav Meshulam Igra, he had a question, should he say this bracha? Now, on one hand, he knows he's going to see one of the Gedolei Hador. On the other hand, he knows that there's a debate whether or not we even say this bracha nowadays. So he was internally conflicted what to do, how he could properly greet. He doesn't want to not give proper kavod to this Gadol, and he doesn't want to do it if it's really not the halacha. See what he did? It says the Chasam Sofer came, and when he met Meshulam Igra, he quoted the Gemara verbatim, and he said, Harua, he literally quoted, he said, the Gemara says, Harua mi chachmei Yisra, ome baruch shechachmei chachmasa li re'av. So he quoted the Gemara to him and said, but the Rambam does not quote this Gemara in his halacha and his Mishnah Torah. Why not? Why doesn't the Rambam quote it? So Rav Shlomo Igra explained that we know that the Rambam, you can't just say that because nowadays it doesn't apply, because we know that the Rambam will in the Mishnah Torah, Rambam has halachos which apply nowadays, but he also has halachos, unlike the Shulchan Aruch, which don't apply nowadays, but which apply in the future, which is all the halachos that apply to the karbanos and the Beis Mikdash. They don't apply necessarily today, but they will apply when Mashiach comes. We know that the Rambam will normally quote something which might not be applicable today, but will be applicable when Mashiach comes. So Mashiach comes, wouldn't we have the ability to say this bracha? So he, Rabbi Shlomo Eger, explained to the Chasam Sofer that when Mashiach comes, you know, we're going to have a time when Mashiach, through the eventual part of the Mashiach, when all of the we'll have Tchias HaNesim, all of the, not only just the Gedolim of all generations will be alive, even the Avos will be alive, Moshe Rabbeinu will be alive, you're going to walk down the street, and with every 2 seconds, you're going to bump into another Gadol Hador. And it's not normal to say, that the whole point of these brachas is that they're unusual circumstances. It's going to be so usual and common to bump into regularly people who are tremendously great, who were historically great throughout so many generations and millennia and centuries of Jewish history, that it will be like commonplace. You're not going to be necessary to make this bracha. Therefore, he's explained, the Rambam doesn't quote this halacha because it doesn't apply nowadays, and it won't apply in the time of Mashiach either. That's an interesting insight. Okay, let's continue. So the Gemara says, Haro Malchi Yisrael, if a person sees a Jewish king, which we don't have the ability to see nowadays, Omer Baruch Shechalach Michvodo L'Re'av, that Hashem gave of his kavod to those who fear him. If he sees Malchi Ovdei Kochavim, if he sees a king of non-Jews, this refers to a king who has the ability to mete out corporal punishment himself. He has that ability to judge and to mete that punishment out. That doesn't apply to the president, but that would apply perhaps to some dictatorships around the world. So Omer Baruch Shenasa Michvodo L'Vriyosav, Hashem gave of his honor to his creatures. Amr of Yochan, Yochan said, La'ola Mishtada Al D'Lekras Malchi Yisrael. A person should try to run to see the Malchi Yisrael. And not only that, below the Krest Malchei Yisrael Bilvad, not only Jewish kings, El Afil Krest Malchei of the Chachavni, she even try and run after non-Jewish kings. She'im Yizkeh, Rashi or Yavchim, Rashi explains that Yizkeh here refers to if a person will be Zoicha to live to the time of Mashiach, where he will see eventually the Melech Mashiach, the king of the Jewish king, the Malchus based David restored through the Melech Mashiach, that he will be able to remember when he saw the non-Jewish king what that looked like, and how much greater the Melech HaMashiach and his kingship will be. And it will realize how great, what we see now is just a taste. There's a small amount of honor, wealth, splendor, that eventually the Melech HaMashiach is going to have. Rosheshes, now here we have two stories which are interesting. Rosheshes, Sagi, Nahor, Havi. Rosheshes was blind. A number of stories around Shas that apply to Rosheshes. This is one of the famous ones, one of them. So Havi Ka'azle, there was a time where the king was coming to town to visit. And the whole town came out to the front of the gates of the city to greet the king. And Rosheshes also came with the multitudes of people to see the king, even though he was blind. A tzeduke came to Rosheshes. He found him. He said, you know something? This is like a euphemism, but he literally translates his whole pitchers. They go to the river. But where do the broken pitchers go? In other words, I get it why people who have the full capabilities and capacities of a person to see are going to greet the king. But you who are a broken pitcher, you who cannot see, what are you doing coming out to the gates of the city? You can't even see anything. So Amrlei, Tachazi Diadana Teminach. I'm going to show you, Rosheshes says, that I know more than you. Chalaf Gudna Kamaisa, the first troop, the first group of soldiers comes past. Kika Avsha, when it gets very loud, Amrlei Ha Tzuki the Tzuki says to Rosheshes, Atamaka, the king is coming. Amrlei Rosheshes, Rosheshes comes back to him. Lo kasi, he's not coming yet. And in fact, the troop passed. The king did not come. Chav gudna tanyana. The second troop of soldiers came by. Kika avshu, when it got very loud. Amr le hahu tzeduke atamaka. Amr le rosheshes. Nope. Sorry. Hashta atasimaka. It's coming. Amr le rosheshes. Nope. Lo kasimaka. And the king did not come. Chav tlisai, when the third group of soldiers came by, Kika Shaska, when it became quiet, Amr Le Rosheshes, Vadai Hashta Asimaka, now is when the king is coming. And indeed the king came. Amr Le Hautzduke, Minacha, how did you know that the king was coming at this time? How did you have any idea? You can't even see. Amr Le Rosheshes replied to him, Mahusa de Arake, Mahusa de Rikia. The kingship of Hashem is like the kingship that we experience down in this world. And it's one of the reasons why there is such an idea of kingship down here, so we can have some taste and some understanding of the honor which we have to display to the Melech Malchei Melachim. And we know that they parallel each other. Tichsiv, regarding the kingship of Hashem, this refers to Eliyahu, he was out in the desert and he was going to be seen. So it says, Say the Amod Bahar, stand by the mountain, Lufnei Hashem, V'inei Hashem Over, and Hashem is going to pass by. The Ruach Gedola Chazak Mefarek Harim U'Meshaber Slayim Lefnei Hashem. And there's going to be a tremendous hurricane of wind that's going to come by, and it's going to break mountains, it's going to break rocks in front of Hashem. But the Lo Ruach Hashem, Hashem is not coming with that wind. The Acha Ruach Rash, after the wind, there's going to be an earthquake. The Lo Ruach Hashem, Hashem is not with the earthquake. The Acha Harash Eish, and after the earthquake, there's going to be a fire. The Lo Eish Hashem, and Hashem is not with the passing of the fire. The Acha Haish Kol Dmama Daka. After that, there is a quiet, still voice, and with that still voice is when Hashem passes. So similarly, is when there was quiet. After the third troop came through, is when Rosh Hashanah knew that was when the king of this world is coming to pass, because that is how Hashem of the Melchim also comes by to pass. Ki atamach malka, when the king came, pasach Rosh Hashanah to come avarach lei. Rosh Hashanah actually made the bracha, even though he could not see the king. And some point off from here, the fact that Rosh Hashanah was blind and yet made the bracha hariya, a bracha which is upon something which you see, that those who are blind do have the ability to make a bracha on something that is normally of sight. Like you can imagine something like by Havdalah. So a person who's blind can still make the bracha Havdalah because others around him are seeing the sight. Okay. It's not your own personal necessary experience of that sight, but that the others around you are experiencing that sight as well. You can make that bracha. Borei Meresh, meaning something which is a brichas hariya, that which you make a bracha upon sight. So if you're with others who are seeing the sight, then you can make the bracha. They say again.
It's like communal.
Yes. Yeah. The Amar Le, how this Tzuki said to him, Leman de lochazis le kamavar. I guess the Tzuki doesn't hold like this. Tzuki said, you're making a bracha to the one you can't even see? So again, he's continued to mock Rosh Hashanah. Now, my Havia Le de Tzuki, what ended up happening with this individual Tzuki? So Ikadami, some say, Chavrohi, the friends of the Tzuki, after seeing how he was so embarrassed, Kachlinu Leine, they basically cut out his eyes. They blinded him, like Rosh Hashanah, because he so embarrassed himself. The Ikadami and others say, Rosh Hashanah, Nasan Eina Bo, Rosh Hashanah put his eye in him. Some say, can't literally mean that. Others say, Marsha says, Hashem temporarily did a miracle and he was able to see him. Or it means that he cursed him, which we find often in Shas, Nasan Eina Bo, seen in other contexts in Shas, where it means someone was cursed. Vinata Galsha, it's almost he killed the Tzuki and he formed a pile of bones. Okay. That's the first story. Second story, Rav Shila. So Rav Shila Nagdei Laho Gavra. These both are stories about the greatness of kingship, which we will see in the story as well. Rav Shila Nagdei Laho Gavra, he had lashed. Rav Shila paskin that certain individual should be lashed because he should receive Malkus Mardus, rabbinic lashes, did Baal Mitzvahs, because this individual had relations with a Egyptian woman, which is prohibited. But Azal Achal Bey, Kutzer Bey Malka, and this individual, who was very unhappy that he got lashed for this, went and tattletailed to the king about Rav Shila. So Amar Ikecha Gavra Bihudai, there is this Jew, the Kadaya Dina below Harmana de Malka, who is judging without the authority of the king. He's taking he's taking the judgment in his own hands. So Shadar Le Parsikta, what the king did was he sent one of his emissaries to check out the situation. So Ki Ata, when he came to Rav Shila, Amar Le, Matam Nagise Lahai, why did you lash this individual? So Amar Lehu, the Baal Chamrasa, because the guy slept with a donkey, a female donkey. Okay, so Amar Le, Islach Sahadi, do you have witnesses that he did such a thing? Amar Le, yeah, I do have witnesses. Ata Eliyahu, and in fact Eliyahu came in the miracle, Idmile Ki'inish, and he appeared as though he was a person. Eliyahu was not alive, but he came back. Often we find Eliyahu coming around and appearing as if he's a person. The Asid, and he gave testimony that this guy, in fact, slept with a donkey. The Amri Le, I Hachi, well, if that's the case, slept with a donkey, he's not just liable to lashes, Bar Ketalahu, he should be killed. Both apparently in Babylonian law and in Jewish law, if you sleep with an animal, bestiality is punishable by death. So, when it's with witnesses. So Amar Lehu, Ana Miyoma Dikalinan, Shila explained to him, the reason why I didn't kill him is from the day that we went to exile from Mi'arin, from our land, Leis Lam Rishustu Lemikta, we do not have the right to kill anymore. We don't have the ability to judge capital punishment. The Atun, but you, what you want to do with the guy, he's all yours. You may do what you want. Ad demeinvai bedina. While they're examining while these Babylonians are sort of checking out the whole case and to see if all the details were correct. Pasuk Roshila v'Amr, he actually started speaking in front of him and said the following pasuk. He's going to darshan the whole pasuk later on. L'chash magdula v'agvura. It continues. V'atiferes v'anetzach v'ahod. Ki chosh mayim v'aretz l'chash Hashem hamlacha. To you, Hashem is the king. Hava hamisnasi l'chol rosh and the grace over every leader. So the Gemara is going to continue. Later, he's going to darshan every line. So let's see this. Now the story continues. The Amri lay. They said to him. They said to Roshila, my comrades. They don't know pesukim. The Babylonians. They said, what? It's like, yeah. What are you mumbling to us? The Amr Lu, he said to him, Hachi Kamin, this is what I mean to say. Baruch Rahmana, blessed is Hashem, the Yahid Machusa Ba'arakeim Machusa Derekia, that Hashem created his kingship like the kingship down here. The Yahid Lachu, and he gave to you people who are here now, Shultana V'rach Medina, he gave you the authority, and he gave you the love of judgment, that you believe in the rule of law. So Amru, wow, these guys said to themselves, Chaviva Alei, you covered the Mahusta Kulahai. This guy really respects the king. I mean, this is like, we came hearing Lashon Hara about this guy, that this guy is rebelling. Meanwhile, this guy really respects the kingship. Yahiv Le Kufa. See what they did? They gave him a stick, and they said, with this stick, you have the authority to mete out punishment. You can use it in your judgment. So see, it's very, very important detail. Amr Le, don't dina, and with that, you can judge. So Ki Havi Nasik, when they were leaving, Amr Le, Hau Gavra, of the Rahman, Isla Shakri Hachi, the guy who was the one who slept with the Mitzri, okay? So he said to Roshila, does God really do lies? Remember, you said I slept with a donkey, I didn't do that. Does God do miracles for those who lie? He made Eliyahu come, and you were lying the whole time. So is that how Hashem acts? So Amr Lei, Rasha, you're such a wicked person. Lav Chamra, Ikru, aren't these Mitzrim called donkeys in the pasuk, tichsiv asher bisar bischomarim bisaram. Their flesh, which refers to their male members, their flesh is like the flesh of a chamor. So we see that in some way the non-Jews are compared in this pasuk. These Egyptians are compared to the donkeys. So chazik de ka'azil lememer lehu de korean chamra. Now he said he has more dirt. So he wanted to now tattletale on Roshila, he's calling these guys who just left, who like from the king, he's calling them donkeys. So Amar, hi, Rodefu. To get him upset. And Roshila saying, this guy, he's a Rodef. He's someone who's coming after me to kill me. The Torah said, Im ba lahargo chashkem lahargo. If a person comes to kill you, you should come to kill him first. Where do we see that? Where's the source of that halacha? So Rashi, I think here, quote says, the source of this is about Abam Machteres. If a person is a ganav who is coming and he's coming sneaking into your house, you can come to kill him because clearly he's going to kill you first. If you catch him and he can't make an escape, he's going to kill you first. So he's willing to take your life in his hands. So you can do that first and kill him before he has a chance to kill you. So what is that? Unless it's your father. Is that the case? Is that okay? So Machi Bekulpa. The Katle, you know what he did? Remember that staff that he got by the Babylonians? He took it, whacked the guy, and killed him for any chance to run away, to tattletale him. Amar Hov, his Avid Binisa, he said, you know something, since through this whole story, this whole episode, a miracle occurred to me, Baha'i Krah, when I was saying this pasuk, meaning I was able to kill him because they gave me the authority with this stick, which only happened because I read this pasuk to them and told them how much I love the kingship. So I'm going to darshan it. And I'm going to tell you what each part of this pasuk means. And this is how we're going to end off the Amud. L'chash ha-magdula zemasa b'reshis. That Hashem is great. It refers to the greatness of the creation. L'chein omer, because it says in the pasuk, osa gedola sayin cheka, that Hashem made wonders that are without comparison. This is something that Rabbi Goldberg, if you were listening to Shimon Chamar, he just quoted this pasuk and he just explained it. Okay, without any comparison, any investigation. V'ha-gevura, little coincidence. Okay, Hashem is a gibor, zu yitzias Mitzrayim. That refers to the greatness of Hashem that He was able to take us out of Mitzrayim. Shneimer v'yar Yisrael siyad hagadola, the great hand of Hashem that He was able to take us out of Mitzrayim. V'hatiferes, the splendor of Hashem, zu chama v'levana she'amdu lo Yeshua. Yeshua is fighting the Amori. In order to complete the battle, as the sun was setting, they couldn't fight in those days during the day. So in order to complete the battle and totally wipe out the Amori, Hashem had the moon stay and not come out, and the sun stay in the horizon. And it wasn't just Yeshua that recognized that, and the people on the field in the battle of the Amori, they were able to be wiped out. But the whole world, obviously, had a day that was long, elongated, and it was for that reason. And the whole world feared Yeshua and Bnei Yisrael from that episode. Shenemar, Vayidom Hashemesh, Ve'areach amad. The sun stayed silent, it stayed still, and the areach did not move from its place, meaning that the day became elongated. Okay.
Ve'hanetzach zumapa sashal Romi. There, first the destruction, the downfall of the Roman Empire.
Ve'chein omer says regarding Rome, v'ziv netzcham al big day, that there. That their blood is going to be on my clothing, meaning where they're going to eventually be destroyed.
V'ha'hod, hod zu machemes nachle Arnon.
This refers to the battle that occurred, was much of a battle, that occurred in Nachle Arnon. Okay, we'll see the policy, I'll explain the story. It says, Shenever, Al-Kain Yomer, B'sefer Mechamas Hashem, there should be written in the book of Hashem's wars, Es Vahev B'sufa. Es Vahev B'sufa, the Gemara, which we read, I believe, in Brachos earlier, explains that these two words refer to two individuals, Vahev, and Vahev was the guy's name, and Sufa, who were these lepers that were behind the camp of Israel. And Israel was passing through the mountains, and they got through, they passed through the mountain area, and these two guys were lingering behind, and they see coming out of the mountains, they see through the crevices, blood coming out. And they said, what's going on here? They stopped the whole camp. They said, you have to investigate the situation. What happened was, again, the Amori, were there to try and kill Bnei Israel on their way into Eretz Israel. And they went and hid in, there were actually two mountains, and there was a valley between. And of course, Bnei Israel would travel normally between the two valleys. And so they figured they're going to travel between, and we're going to hide out in the enclaves of the rock, and we're going to shoot arrows and rain down on Bnei Israel as they pass through. And of course, what they didn't know was that Hashem was smoothing the pathway with the Anani HaKavod. They were smoothing the path of Bnei Israel, so all of the areas that were like mountains and treacherous were smoothed out. So, of course, the mountains came together and flattened, and they crushed. They said that the parts from one mountain jutted out, and like a Lego fit into the part on the other side, and crushed the Amori, which Bnei Israel had no idea the miracles Hashem did for them as they passed through Eretz Yisrael, and only afterwards they recognized this tremendous episode, and so they stopped. And made the bracha, and they sang a song, and this is the song that they sang, which is recorded here. So that's what we're referring to with the hod. Okay, let's continue. So then continue. When it says in the pasuk, Kichov Shmai Muvaret, in the heavens near Zumacham Sisra, that refers to the war with Sisra. Shenamar min Shemayim Muchamu Akochavim Misulasam. That even the stars from their paths, their trajectories, they were even fighting against Sisra, and it says even they went into the waters and they drowned in the waters, rushing them away. Again, the heavens and the earth were fighting against Sisra to aid Bnei Israel. L'cha Hashem Amlacha, to you Hashem is the kingship. Zu Mechamas Amalek. That refers to the war with Amalek, because it says regarding the war with Amalek, Ki Yad Al Keska Melchama Hashem Bamalek Midor Dor. Hashem is constantly fighting a Melchama with Amalek. So that's Ki Hashem Hamamlacha, that Hashem is the Hashem's kingship, because we say in ha shem shalim vein ha kise shalim. Hashem's name is not complete, and Hashem's chair, his essentially royal chariot, is not complete until Amalek is destroyed, because it is not referred to as the kise of Hashem here, and not the yud kei vav kei of Hashem's name here, but case chaf samach, not chaf samach aleph. And we're missing the Vav Hey. We only have the name of Hashem, which is Yud and Hey. So that's Al-Keska. Okay. The Hamisnase, the great one, Zumachamas Gog Magog, there for the eventual war at the end of days that'll happen between Gog and Magog. The Chain Omer, it says in the Pasuk, Hini Alecha, Gog, to you, Gog, Nasi Rosh Mashal B'tuval. To you, Gog, the sovereign leader of Meshech and Tuval, I'm against you, Hashem says. L'chol l'rosh, to all of these, Hashem is above them. Amar Rav Chanan, Amar Rava, Amar Rav Yochanan, afilu resh gargisa min shemayim manulei. Even a simple position, like the one who's the in charge of like the irrigation ditches, the water management, very important position now. But the water managers, the ones who are in charge of the canals and the irrigation ditches and things like that around the community, even who got appointed to such a position, ultimately was orchestrated by Hashem. Mishmaya Manule. The Masni Satana we have in a Braisa, teaching as follows, Mishmaya Rabbi Akiva. The name of Rabbi Akiva explains the Pasuk in a little different way. L'cha Hashem Agdula, to you Hashem is the greatness of Kriyas Yamsuf. It refers to Kriyas Yamsuf. The Hagavura Zum Makas B'choros, that refers to the plague of the firstborn. The Tiferes,
Zu Matan Torah, that refers to giving of the Torah, Bahanetzach, that Zu Yerushalayim, Hahod, and the Sponge, though, Beis HaMikdash, that refers to the Beis HaMikdash. We'll stop here. Shkoyach.
Thank you.
And